And sometimes you can get a little makeup or you can get some clothes and you can cover your bruises over and nobody can see the bruises that that you're dealing with in your life. Just a lot of things that are going on, a lot of inward struggles, a lot of things unless you sat down and you talked to somebody about and you told them that they would have no earthly idea that you were going through what you were going through.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Is There a Word from the Lord? So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Is There a Word from the Lord?
After a few years of trying to regroup and get himself back together again, he finally began to establish some things, and he decided that he was going to take a cruise. And he wasn't able to go because he was taking care of some business, so he sent his family on ahead, his wife and his four daughters. On the way, the boat had some problems, and ended up having to be abandoned, and the boat sank. And he heard about it, and he got a telegraph from his wife, and it said basically two words, saved alone, saved alone. The man lost everything he had in the fire. He lost his four daughters. He sat down and began to meditate on that, and he said, when peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows, like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Horatio Spafford, the Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous that he made it through. And he came on the other side and he was able to write a song about when billows roll in our life, when the seas toss in our life. He wrote a song. And if he made it through, by golly, I can make it through too. If I can look at others who have been in this situation, you are not the first person that have had marriage problems. You are not the first person that has lost your job. You are not the first person that has been broke. There have been other people that have been broke. And the Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but I thank God that it doesn't stop there because it says, but the Lord, delivereth him out of all of them. He delivers them out of all of them. Is there a word from the Lord this morning? Is there a word in the midst of your hurt, in the midst of your sorrow? Is there a word from the Lord? Yes, there is. There's a word about your hurt that the Lord knows you're hurting. Jesus been through what you've been through, and others are hurting too. Is there a word this morning? Yeah, there's a word. Secondly, a word about our help. A word about our help. The first thing I want to say is the person of our help. Look at Psalm 46 and verse 1. Psalm 46 and verse 1. God is our refuge and strength. Present help in the time of trouble. The person of our help is none other than God. God is our help. There was a man who was in the barbershop getting a haircut. And as he was in the barbershop getting a haircut, the barber began to tell the man that there's no God. And he began, the man asked him, well, why isn't there a God? And the man said, because if there was a God, there wouldn't be hungry people in the world today. That if there was a God, there wouldn't be people hurting today. If there was a God, there wouldn't be homeless people today. If there was a God, all these things would not be happening. And the man who was a Christian didn't necessarily know how to answer him. And he walked out. And as he walked out on the street, he saw this scraggly man with long hair, with a beard, and just looked rough in every way. And he went back into the barbershop, and he said, there are no barbers. And the man said, what do you mean? He said, I'm a barber. He said, no, there are no barbers. He said, what do you mean there's no barbers? I just got finished getting you a haircut. What do you mean there's no barbers? He said, well, I just saw a man out in the street with scraggly hair, with a beard, and that shows me that there's no barbers. And the man said, there's a barber, he just doesn't come to the barber. And the man said, ah, you got the point that I'm trying to make, that there is a God, and people just don't come to him. If you come to him, if you come to God, the psalmist said, God is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. And the reason that folk have problems that are greater beyond what they should be is because they won't come to God. They try to figure it out all other kind of ways. They try to do this and finagle that and turn this around and do that. They will not come to God. You got to come to him. He that believeth that God is must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You've got to come to him. You know what? Sometimes I find that we as Christians, you know, we want to go to a seminar, or we want to go to this meeting, or we want to go to that meeting, and we are looking for answers because we got problems and we got troubles in our life, and we want to go here and go there, but we don't want to come to God. We don't want to get down on our knees, and we don't want to pray and ask God to help us in this situation. We want to turn each and every way. We want to do all these other things. We want to get busy. We want to serve. We want to do this and do that, and we just don't want to come to God. He can help us in the midst of what? You don't know I'm hurting too much to turn to God. That's the time you turn to him. Turn to him. And then not only the person of our help, but the presence of our help. Verse 5, he says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall, look at, help her, and that right early. The presence. When does God's presence show up? It shows up right at the beginning of the situation that you're going through. You know, what you're going through did not take God by surprise. God was not taken back and say, oh my goodness, what happened here? It did not take God by surprise. God knew. God had his eye on you the whole time. You know, there was a burglar that was robbing a house, and he went in the house and began to shine the flashlight to see what was there. And a voice said, Jesus is watching you. And the burglar tried to ignore it and kept going on, and you know, found the stereo and was getting ready to unplug the stereo so he could take that. And the voice said, Jesus is watching you. And he said, what is this voice? And he began to shine the light around, look for this voice. And it was a parrot in the cage. It said, Jesus is watching you. He said, what's wrong with you? He said, why don't you just be quiet? He said, I just want to let you know that Jesus is watching you. And the man said, look, what are you doing anyways? Why are you here? And he said, I'm here to let you know that Jesus is watching you. And he said, what's your name? And the parrot said, my name is Moses. And the man said, well, what kind of owner would name their parrot Moses? And he said, the same one that would name their Rottweiler Jesus. Jesus is watching you. You know, no matter what you're going through, Jesus is there. Jesus is watching you. He's right there with you every step of the way. And it's good to know that God is there, that his presence is there. Well, a word about our help, that God is our help and that God is present, but also the power of our help. What is the power of our help? Look at Psalm 121 at verse 2. Psalm 121 in verse 2. Actually, we can read verse 1. He says here, the choir sang it for us this morning, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help? The psalmist is looking for help. Where is my help coming from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The power of our help. Who is helping us? The God that created, the God that created the world is the one that's helping us. You don't have some impotent God that has no power at all, but you have a God who is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And the psalmist makes that note specifically clear. He said, my help comes from the Lord. See, and he didn't stop there. Because he said, I don't want you to get my Lord mixed up with any of these other lords. He said, I want you to get this thing straight. My help is coming from the one who created heaven and earth. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Choir sang about him just a little while ago. God is. God is. How come there's nothing on the end of that? You know why? Because God is whatever you need. Whatever you need God to be, that's what he is in your life. And, you know, we're trying to get rid of God. You know, somebody sent me this, and I thought this was interesting. And so those of you who are here are teachers, you may appreciate this. But when I was reading this, I said, man, this is our society today. We got this all-powerful God who can take care of our needs, who can take care of our problems, and we try to get rid of him. After being interviewed by the school administration, the eager teacher said, in reference to the application for a teacher's position, said, let me see if I've got this right. You want me to go into that room with all those kids and fill every waking moment with a love for learning. And I'm supposed to instill a sense of pride in their ethnicity, modify their disruptive behavior, observe the signs of abuse, and even censor the t-shirt messages and dress habits. You want me to wage a war on drugs and sexually transmitted diseases, check their backpacks for weapons of mass destruction, and raise their self-esteem. You want me to teach them patriotism, good citizenship, sportsmanship, fair play, how to register to vote, how to balance a checkbook, how to apply for a job, and I'm to check their head for lice, maintain a safe environment, recognize signs of antisocial behavior, make sure all the students pass the state exams, even those that don't come to school regularly or complete any of their assignments. Plus, I'm to make sure that all the students with handicaps get an equal education regardless of the extent of their mental or physical capacity. I am to communicate regularly with their parents by letter, telephone, newsletter, and report card. All of this I am to do with just a piece of chalk, a computer, a few books, a bulletin board, and a big smile, and on a salary that qualifies my family for food stamps. You want me to do all this, and then you tell me I can't pray. Wow. 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 You want me to do all this, and then you tell me I can't pray. My, my, my. Our help. We need God. We need a powerful God. We need a God who made heaven and earth. A word about our hurt. A word about our help. And then let me close this morning with a word about our hope. The first thing, there is a pain-relieving hope. Psalm 30, if you look there. Psalm 30 and verse 5. Psalm 30 and verse 5. For his anger endureth but for a moment, but his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. We have a pain-relieving hope that no matter what you're going through right now, that there's some joy down the road. You may be going through heartache and sorrow, and you may be crying right now, but don't lose hope because there's some relief from your pain on the way. Weeping may endure for a night. You may be crying tears of heartbreak. You may be crying tears of loss. You may be crying tears of confusion. That's all right. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. As I always like to say, somebody asked this guy what it was his favorite verse, and he said, it came to pass. And why is that your favorite verse? Because, praise God, it didn't come to stay. Weeping may endure for a night. Oh, some of the things that I deal with, it's good to know that it's only a season. It's good to know that I'm only going through this for this time period and that at some point it's going to end. Some of the situations that you dealt with last year. What was the most devastating situation that you dealt with last year? What was the biggest crisis that you dealt with last year? For some of you, it still may be there this year. But I guarantee you, for a lot of you, that you're dealing with something completely new right now. I guarantee you that for most of us, we're dealing with whatever that pressing thing was that kept us up at night, that caused us anxiety, that thing last year, we weren't about something new altogether now. You know, we'd be like the guy who, you know, he was getting ready to catch the bus. And a guy came up to him and said, "Hey, can you tell me what time it is?" He just ignored him. He said, "Well, can you tell me what time it is?" He ignored him, and the guy just got frustrated and walked away. And his friend said, "How come you didn't tell the guy what time it was?" He said, "If I'd have told him the time, then he might have wanted to ride the bus with us. And if he rode the bus with us, he might have came home with us. And if he came home with us, he might have wanted dinner. And if he came and sat down to dinner, he might have found that I got a daughter. And if he found out that I got a daughter, he might have married my daughter. And I don't want my daughter marrying anybody that can't afford to buy a watch. All that worrying for nothing. All that worrying for nothing. We worry. The things that we worried about last year, guess what? A lot of that stuff is over. Man, and that's the hope that I have, that some of these things that I'm dealing with, that at some point, they're going to be over. But you know what I find? It's going to be a whole nother set of circumstances. Whole nother set of circumstances. I was dealing with some stuff this past weekend. Some physical pain in my body. I thought my shoulder was the only pain I had. Now I found out I got something else wrong. You know? Don't have my shoulder now. It don't even feel as bad now because my mind is somewhere else. Thank God. What's your favorite verse, Pastor Glaze? And it came to pass. Why is that? Because it didn't come to stay. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Pain relieving hope. And then, some of us don't want to hear this one right here, but there's troubles of the world ending hope. Now, let me say this. I hate to say this. I hate to say this, and some of y'all won't get mad at me, but let me just go ahead and fix the thing up because this is the truth. There's some things that you're going to deal with until the day that you die. Now, you know, see, we don't want to deal with that. You know, we don't like to hear the story about the man who was in the avalanche and the snow covered his car, and he prayed in the car and asked Jesus to come and help him. And Jesus dug through the snow, broke the window, sat in the car, and died in the car with the man as they sat there. We don't want to hear that story. We don't want to hear that one. We want to hear, "Oh, Jesus came in, dug a hole, and took him out." We don't want to hear the other one. But you know, there's some things that Jesus is just going to have to pull alongside of you, and he's going to have to be with you to the day you die. Because there's some things you're going to struggle with. See, "Oh, Pastor Glaze, I thought you was giving us hope this morning." I am giving you hope. Lady looked at her hand, and something was wrong with her hand. Looked at her back, something was wrong with that. Had all kind of problems in her body. Went to the doctor, said, "Doctor, is any hope?" And the doctor said, "Yeah, the resurrection." And that's you know, for some of us, let's be honest. For some of us, that's the only hope. If we got people here to give a testimony today, I'm sure that we got some people here that have been dealing with the one thing for a long time now. And it don't seem, oh, I heard a amen. I heard one. That's all right. We got one person that's going to be honest in here. We got one that's going to be honest. All right, can I get a second? All right. But, you know, some things just not going to go away. Some things you're going to struggle with until the day that they throw dirt in your face. You know, it's just like, you know, the preacher. The guy went to the preacher, and he said, he said, the preacher went to visiting, and he said, "I got married in this church." And he said, "I got baptized in this church." And he said, "I'm not coming back to this church again." And the guy said, the preacher said, "Well, you going to see me one more time?" He said, "The first time you came, we threw rice in your face. Next time we came, we threw water in your face. There's one more time, we're going to throw dirt in your face. You're going to struggle with some stuff all the way until they throw dirt in your face, until they bury you in the ground. You're going to be dealing with stuff Look at Job in Job chapter 3. Job chapter 3 and verse 17. Job chapter 3 and verse 17. Speaking of the grave, Job says this: there the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary are at rest. What was the hope that Job had? Job's hope was not in this life at this point. What was Job looking forward to? He was looking forward to the day he died, because he felt that there were some things that wasn't going to leave him. And what was the one confidence that he had? He said, there the wicked shall cease from troubling, and the weary shall be at rest. The only relief for some of the things that we're dealing with right now is going to be for God to take us home. Now, that don't mean that we need to get a premature exit out of here. You know, we need to continue to serve God. And, you know, I was watching an interview the other day with this lady, Johnny Erickson Tata. And she was sitting in this chair and just could do absolutely nothing. And she was just talking about God and how that she was serving him and doing his will. And I said, now, here's a lady that, by all practical means, this is not going to leave her. She's going to be dealing with this until the day that she dies. But she found a way to deal with it and glorify God in the midst of it. You see, sometimes the hope that we have, and what is her hope? She's serving God in this life. But what is her hope as far as her body is concerned? Her hope is not in this life. Her hope is in the next life. There's hope, a word about our hope. A pain-relieving hope, a troubles-of-the-world-ending hope, and then finally, I like this one right here, a love reunion hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. Paul's talking about those of us who have lost loved ones. And he says in this passage right here, he says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them who are asleep. That means those who have died, that you sorrow not even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring back with him. For this I say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not go before those who are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. There's a word of hope about loved ones that have gone on, that we're going to see them again, that there's going to be a reunion again. And that our hope is that we will say hello, and we'll never have to say goodbye again. That when we come into their presence, that there's a hope that we don't need to sorrow like people who have no hope. But we sorrow sometimes, and I was telling people last week, that sometimes we sorrow because we're going to miss the person. Because somebody that we loved is no longer here. And you know what? All of us going to lose somebody. All of us going to lose somebody. We just might as well go ahead and get ready and prepare our hearts for it. But in the midst of that loss, have joy, because you know if they're a Christian, that you're going to see them again. And that's the hope for the child of God. And that's the hope for anybody that loses a loved one, that you will see your loved one again. And what a blessing. What a blessing.
Today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Yet He Died for Me. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Is There a Word from the Lord? You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request, Is There a Word from the Lord? That's anchoredinjesus.org and request, Is There a Word from the Lord? Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, our website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.